Our next presenter is Baehung Chang. Dr. Chang is an associate professor at Boston University School of Public Health. She has been engaged in complementary and alternative medicine research for the past 10 years. One of her major areas of research is the investigation of the synergistic effects of combining acupuncture and the relaxation response for disease management. The paper she's going to present today is titled "A Combination of Acupuncture and Relaxation Response for Treating GI Side Effects Associated with Antiretroviral Therapies." Welcome, Bae.
Okay. Thank you for staying until the very end. I'm getting tired myself. I hope you are not too tired. And usually, I've been presenting in this conference for the past few years, and I present the topic about relaxation response and acupuncture. So usually, I would do a little bit practice. If you don't mind, you want to do it, because we're all very tired. If you want to do some relaxation, you want to try it? So why don't we all sit with your back straight up, and just have your hands on your lap and just relax. And if you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes. And we're going to just take a deep breath in. And exhale. So now we're going to just stay for a few moments, maybe just 1 minute. So what you want, just focus your attention on your breathing. And notice the air comes in and out from your nostril. You might notice that you have a lot of thought coming out, but that's okay. Don't pay attention to your thought, just bring your attention back to your breathing again. Now, gently bring your attention back and deepening your breath. And when you are ready, and gently open your eyes. Okay, so hope you're all more relaxed now. So what I'm going to talk about is the combination of acupuncture and relaxation for treating a common GI side effect of HIV patient when they're taking so-called hard, highly active antiretrovirus medication. So how many people here heard about relaxation? I mean, I assume you all know what acupuncture is. And anybody heard about relaxation response? Okay, that's great. Yeah. So I mean, relaxation response is actually, it's just a different term, in my opinion, for different kind of meditation techniques to elicited relaxation response, and it's a term that it was bring about to medical system by Dr. Benson from Harvard Medical School. I would say about 30 years ago now. So if for people who don't know what relaxation response is, then that's what it is, and it's actually just a different technique can evolve the relaxation response. I will explain a little bit more in later on in the slides. So, is the page which one do I do? Oh, here. First of all, I had nothing to disclose, although I forgot to have a slide that this is a NIH NCEM funded study, and you all know later on someone from NCEM is going to talk about how to apply funding from NCEM, National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine. So for anybody who is interested, I'm advertising for you. interesting in doing research, you want to know how to receive funding, you can stay after this. And this is fortunately is funded by them, and it's really hard to get funding nowadays. So I already talked a little bit about what is relaxation response. So actually, it's if you want to give a definition, it's a state. It's kind of your body, the state of your body, which is it's somewhat. I mean, individual is each person. He can evolve. It's a calm feeling. I don't know what you feel after that, even just 1 minute meditation or relaxation practice. You feel like your body become more calm and your mind more calm too. And it actually has some kind of physiological effects, which is the opposite to a fight and flight response. That's why Dr. Benson called it relaxation response to be opposite to fight and flight when we are under stress. When you're under stress, your heartbeat goes up, your body temperature goes up, and all that reaction. So relaxation response is the opposite to that. And it can be easy to learn. I mean, like nowadays it's so popular, people doing different kind of meditation, and I will show all the techniques we use for this study. And I would say it's not totally no cost. It's like if you go out and buy this kind of CD, has the instruction to teach you how to do it, you do need to purchase the CD. Or sometimes people go to a practitioner, teach you how to do it, and you do have to spend time doing it every day. So if you consider the time you spend is a cost, that is the cost. But in compared to any other practice, this is really no cost, low cost. And so why did I get into this research area about acupuncture relaxation response? I mean, originally my study was just focusing on relaxation response. And then when I tried to do the next grant, I thought about maybe how, because I actually got exposed to acupuncture treatment myself, and then listened to people, collaborator of this study, Beth Summer, she's an acupuncturist, and when she was presenting her outcome study, I went to her and said, can I visit your clinic, and this is how we get started to collaborate. And so the first study we did was just saying that if I add relaxation response to usual acupuncture treatment, whether they have an enhanced effect. And this is the second study, so we further want to investigate whether acupuncture by itself, relaxation response by itself, or the combination, each of this, are they effective or not, treating the GI symptoms, side effects. And because both acupuncture and relaxation response has been shown in the literature, each individually can have effect to improve quality of life HIV patient. This is our first study, which has been published in the literature. And these two CAM therapies are very commonly used among HIV patients, and you can find literature showing that too. So then people were asked then, why do you want to combine these two together? And there's some scientific reason to it. So these two therapy, they actually share similar feature. So like, I don't know how many of you has acupuncture treatment experience. if you have the experience, it's now you're lying there and they put the needle on you, you feel really relaxed, right? So that's kind of relaxation too. And so that's one thing, is that they're very calming in that sense. And acupuncture supposedly kind of stimulate or unblock your blockage, like earlier presenter talking about. Sometimes when we get sick, the reason is the energy got blocked in our system. So acupuncture can unblock that. And when you do meditation, if you're a long-term practitioner, you know that you can get to the stage, you feel like a chi is bloating in your body. So actually both acupuncture and relaxation seems to have that kind of effect. And actually, matter of fact, that they are study already demonstrate similar, like for acupuncture, they show that there is some kind of physiological and neurological parameter increase. So-called nitric oxide, nitric NO2 increase after acupuncture. And NO2 is something like a relaxing, relax your blood vessel. And also, we actually have a study demonstrate that relaxation response also have the nitric oxide, also increase. So that's kind of just some kind of evidence say they do have similar physiological and neurological effects produced by these two therapies. And for clinical significance, that because acupuncture, you do have to pay to go and to do acupuncture therapy. So if we can add, and you cannot, it's just not practical, you do it very frequently. I mean, ideally, yes, you would do it 2 or 3 times a week would be good for some symptom, but it costs money. I mean, not a lot of insurance pays for acupuncture treatment. So if we can have some kind of self-care, relaxation response, you can complement to it. So after you have the acupuncture treatment, you go home and continue to practice relaxation response, that will be cost-effective, hopefully. If we find that the combination is more effective than the by itself. So for this study, I already talked about it. So we're going to examine the individual and combined effects of acupuncture and the relaxation response for treating GISI effects of HIV patient. So what we use is, this is a randomized controlled trial, and we have a 4-arm, 2x2 study. So in this table, on the left side is the RR. So RR intervention, we use health education as a control. And acupuncture, we use sham acupuncture. So this is a very rigorous control trial with very active control group. And so what we do is when patient come in to receive acupuncture intervention, we let them wear your buck, so it's just a very tiny thing in your ear. Because some of the point we use is acupuncture points in the ear, so we cannot use that big earphone, so it's just the ear buck, it just go into the ear. So there are two types of CD. One has instruction to elicit a relaxation response, and the other just health education information. And so let me go into a little bit more detail later on about intervention. So the kind of study population we include is they have to have at least one of those 6 GI symptoms: diarrhea, loose stool, gas bloating, abdominal pain, nausea, and vomiting for at least 8 weeks. So the reason we chose to have at least 8 weeks is because this is kind of persistent. It's so that we can be sure this is like some problem is related to the medication, it doesn't go away. So that's why we need to have already after 8 weeks, they still have the symptom. And they have to be unstable. Those are the components of heart. And so there has to be on those kind of heart medication for at least 8 weeks. So those inclusion criteria just ensure that those side effects are most likely associated with this kind of heart treatment. And we also exclude a patient who has like a major opportunistic infection, which if they're too sick, they, it's just unlikely they will stick to the study. So we don't include those patients. And if they have GI symptoms, they are not likely to be related to HIV medication. We also exclude them. And if they are already using acupuncture, of course, we don't want them to be in the study. And if they have bleeding disorder, just they're probably not appropriate for needle, for acupuncture needle. And if they are practicing RR2, like even they are doing yoga practice routinely, then we're not including them. And of course, if they're cognitively impaired, they won't be able to follow the instruction to do the RR practice. And also women, if they're pregnant, because one of the symptoms is nausea, so we don't want to interfere with the outcome, so we don't include them. So the intervention is we have a total of 12 in clinic intervention. So what we did is the first 4 weeks is twice per week, and the following 4 weeks is just once per week. And according to Beth, this is kind of, very common practicing acupuncturists that you tear down. And we do ask them to do daily home practices. So in addition to in the clinic, when they receive acupuncture intervention, they listen to those CD. We give them a set of CD to bring home. We ask them to do it every day, just listen to the CD. The CD lasts, each one lasts for about 20 minutes.
5 minutes.
Okay. So acupuncture, we have the real acupuncture points. So here are the 4 points specific for treating GI symptoms. And then we chose another 4 points used as a sham acupuncture, and which are actually closer to those 4 specific points, but it's not for the purpose of treating GI symptom. In addition, actually, we don't use needle penetration because if people are familiar with the literature in acupuncture, a lot of shan acupuncture, actually, if you do needle penetration, it has effects too. So this kind of sham acupuncture treatment is they use an electric pad and put on the point, and that electric connected to the cable connected to electric box, but actually we didn't turn the electric on. So they are actually not getting anything, but they thought they are getting something. So we have used 6 different techniques of relaxation response, and which you can see from there, this is pretty commonly used techniques, and they, like I say, they do home practice too. So the main study outcome we use is the GI symptom checklist. This is from one of the standardized scale and for HIV patient, and they do have a GI symptom subscale. And we chose those are the 6 symptoms they use in the scale, actually. And we have the rating of 0 to 10, and 0 means no, and 10 means the most severe. And what is the beauty of this study is that we use the diary, ask them to keep track every day. So we have diary data, and that actually allow us to do so-called dose response effects. And here's the statistical analysis. For those who are familiar with statistics, you can see that it's just a mixed effects, and we use random effects, and because we have the same patient repeated major many every day. And so here's the study population. We have 115 patients assigned to those 4 groups. And their age is average about 47 years old. 70% male, and that's probably reflect the HIV population in Boston area. And they are actually 46 African American and 31% white. So it's pretty high percentage of African American compared to our first study is mostly white. And so there's no group differences among the 4 groups. So that's a very good way to do a good randomization. So here is the study result for the dose response. So why we call it a dose response? We're taking like the rating of each day, and we look at up to that day, how many intervention they already received. So per intervention, per session increase, how much decrease in their rating. So you can see that for Lu Stu, So AR is the acupuncture plus relaxation. So those two together. AE is just the acupuncture itself and education for RR. And then Shen acupuncture plus relaxation, and SE is the both are controlled. So you can see that only the group in AR, they have a very significant decrease in loose stool in terms of the dose response and nausea. So here is the graphic you can see. So this also, we do so-called two-slope regression, because that graph, that table I showed you earlier, is just that if we just fit one line, we say for all the 12 treatment they receive. And this one is, we want to see that because the first 4 treatment is twice per week. So we just see whether the first 4 weeks is more effective than the last 4 weeks. So for the first 4 weeks, we fit one line, and the next 4 weeks fit another line. And you can see the red line is the acupuncture plus relaxation group for loose stool. So they have very nice decrease. And the second weeks, they also decrease too. So both line are statistically significant. For the other 3 groups, they also decrease. There's a decreasing trend. They are significant for the first 4 weeks, but the second 4 weeks become not significant. So this is for loose stool. And for nausea, again, acupuncture plus relaxation group has a very nice decreased trend, but for the second 4 weeks, that decreasing trend is become not statistically significant. And for the other 3 groups, you can see it's more flat. Even the first 4 weeks, it looks kind of a little bit decreasing, but it's not statistically significant. And the last 4 weeks is also not significant. Okay. So I had to wrap up. Okay, so here we conclude that the combining the two seems to be more effective for treating the side effects, especially loose stool and nausea. And so especially like twice per week, it seems to be better, more effective. And our strength is we have very rich data, so we allow us to do this kind of dose response. And we have active control, we have double blind, and so we have some preliminary data to show that the frequency of treatment twice per week might be better. But again, this is a single site and the cell report, so there's some limitation too.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bay. Now we're going to have about 10 minutes left for questions and answers. So if anybody has a question, please raise your hand and we'll pose it to the panelist.
None of these patients were taking anything, including statin medication, niacin, omega-3, nothing that could possibly impact them.
Right. But my question was, did you have trouble with diet?
We did. We had. It was very difficult to find people who weren't on any of these medications.
Her question was the problem with the IRB, which is they're self-selecting. Patients can refuse to take medication.
Yeah.
So the institutional review board was not the problem.
Yeah. No, it was more the fact that people were taking medicines for this, or that their triglycerides just were not within the parameters.
Did you actually have people who were above 300?
Yep, we did 200 and 300. Mm-hmm. I can't say that we had anybody above 400, though.
Question in the back.
A question for Kelly. I think it's Larry Dossey where I read this, comments on prayer in the context of spontaneous remission. And the idea that I got there was it was people that had, this acceptance of whatever outcome would occur that actually had the best results with prayer in the context of cancer. Some of your data suggested something similar. You mentioned something in that example. It didn't seem like there was a conflicting line of thought or it was people that were going to beat the cancer. Do you have some comments on kind of bringing those two concepts together?
Sort of. Yeah, I think the biggest findings were that people really tried to reduce their negative emotions and increase their positive emotions. Sometimes that positive emotion was calmness. The people who said they weren't going to document, they were calm about it. Not all of them absolutely thought, I'm just not going to document. Some of them were very calm. They said, I might die, I might not, but either way, I'm calm. So for me, I would agree with Larry Doss's findings. It's that it's this surrender or this acceptance or this comfort with uncertainty that seemed to really allow something in the body to shift. I don't know. Again, all hypothetical for me so far.
Prasad?
Questions out there why that happened. Obviously, it wasn't a large study. The triglycerides were still elevated in this population despite them going down, so that could play a part. But we can't really make any definitive guesses as to why that happened. That would be one of our primary objectives if we were to have a larger study, is to really look at that HDL and see what happens.
Did it alter the cholesterol HDL ratio?
We did not look at that. We did look at the ratio.
And next one to tell you about the sort of curiosity and all these 10 months of travel, which place did you find these particular cases or SR responders to be more, or is there any pattern which you found that a place where they fall?
Well, my SR subjects were English speaking, so they were mostly from the US, Canada. I also interviewed one from Japan and Germany. So it's hard to know. The healers were from all the different countries. And you're saying, were there more healers in certain countries? I had to interview at least 5 from each country. So there were some countries where it was easier to find them, that's for sure. India was one of them.
Yes.
In case you're asking.
A little bit of a pressure-filled question, being on the panel. Do either of you want to take it? Sure. I think the audience member wants to know what all of you have learned from the other presentations that you've listened to within this session. Comments so we can.
Sure. All 3 studies were really important to me. Triglycerides, the high triglycerides, really a problem as a late effect among children with cancer. So it's interesting to look at some sort of intervention for those kids. Spontaneous remission for me is fascinating because we are looking at traditional and complementary medicine use Central America, South America, and the Philippines. And religiosity, prayer, spontaneous remission has come up in our survey research. That probably really does require some more mixed methods qualitative findings as well. And for acupuncture and relaxation response, our practitioners at the Integrative Therapies Program utilize these therapies often in conjunction, so it's really nice to see them being studied together.
Okay, I think we'll move on to if there are any final questions. Yeah? We have time for one last question, if anyone has one. Okay, both of you have spoken before. okay, go ahead.
Thank you to all of the panelists and to all of you for presenting.